America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Patriots Friday on WEEI. Good day to you. It's KJ. Look, Jerod Mayo, he's got some great points there. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Think about what the conversation was 3 weeks about Jerod Mayo, just to yourself, right? You don't have to say it out loud. If you want to say it out loud, it's really great. You might not think anything has changed. There have been some distractions between 3 weeks and now. At least from a football perspective, Jerod Mayo's kind of like, whew. But there was a really loud voice and call of saying that this guy does not know what he's doing. And my argument has always been, well, if he came in perfect and then it just went bad the rest of the way, then I would think you would say maybe you have a person who thinks they know everything and found out that this is a little different than everything that goes on. Those are the ones I think are easier to fire. Look at Josh McDaniels when he went to Denver. Thought he knew it all. Remember, wasn't he on like Good Morning America because he'd beaten Belichick and he was 6-0? It was all a disaster after that. Then you've got this situation here with Mayo where it's like it's been kind of like mini disasters in different forms, right? Like he's even looking brilliant now in what he did with Matthew Judon by getting rid of him, because guess what Atlanta wants to do? Get rid of Judon! They feel like they've been fleeced in the trade. So if you look at something, you say, you know what? If you allow things that look bad to work themselves out, they may not look as bad as they do. Now, there are some people probably saying, hey, Mayo's doing a great job because right now the Patriots are lined up to have the number one pick next year. And for some people, that's all they want. But I think the most important thing for Jerod Mayo going into this season was being the leader of the locker room. The locker room has felt kind of leaderless for the last 3 years, really. When you go back to Cam Newton, you felt like, okay, you had someone who was kind of affable and he was cool on the Greg Hill show, but damn, he couldn't throw. And then when he finally decided that, you know, maybe he could then learn some type of offense, he was gone. Then with Mac Jones coming in, you're like, okay, this is going to be better than what we had with Cam Newton. But that never translated into a leader or a winner on the field. So when you have that going on, and then you have key players retiring from the defense, you kind of have a chasm. Even with Judon, you had a situation where it was like, okay, you're starting to look like you're the leader, but you're now injured, you're not on the field, how much can you lead? Barmore started to step into that vacuum. Unfortunately, he's not on the field right now. So when you're Jerod Mayo, you realize you have to take over the conversation and the environment of the locker room to make sure that this weird moving ship starts to head in the right direction. And even though the team doesn't look great on paper, you are what your record says you are. At the end of the day, this was not going to be a team that was going to win 9 games. Nobody ever thought that. No one thought this team would be on a playoff hunt. And when you look at the roster, that's why even at the trade deadline, I was shocked that no one was brought in. Because think about it. If most of the people that you feel like you can offer up and can move forward from most of those players would only yield you like a fifth or sixth round return. So literally you're giving up at least a live body for a body that may not eventually be here, even though you legitimately have it. Like, point me to the draft when someone says, yeah, give me 10 of your fives. It doesn't happen. And the way NIL is in college football, if you feel like, if someone tells you that, hey, man, you might be dropping down second day, middle second day, guess what? I'm going to keep this nice little GMC Jimmy that I've got, or the Ford truck that I've got here at my college university, and drive it to somewhere else and get, you know, hit that transfer portal. So even some of the product is going to be watered down coming through the NFL draft, really after the fourth round. So if you're Gerard Mayo, you've probably heard this term, and shout out to Thomas Christofili, right? Did I say it correctly?
Christofili.
Christofili. There's no T in there. Christofili, my producer tonight.
Yes, sir.
Is that you? It's very hard to take chicken salad, take chicken-ish and turn it into chicken salad. And I don't want to denigrate the players that are here on this team, but let's just go room by room. Does the wide receiver room scare any defenses? No. Does the running back room scare any defenses? It was supposed to, but no. Does the offensive line room scare any defensive line tape watchers from other teams watching tape? No. So literally, you're talking about your real valuable pieces are your quarterback, your cornerback. So if you're Mayo, you're not working with a whole lot. And yet, the most important thing you can do is make sure that the culture, the environment, the ship not be sinking. Because at one point I thought, like, the ship be sinking. But beating the Jets, I think, kind of backed everybody off, or a lot of people off. Now, if you're still one of those type of people who think that Mayo should still go, please tell me why. Because it's still year one. And I'm sorry, I don't know if anybody knows this, but a rookie head coach has to have a year one. So if you're saying you should have gotten someone with more experience, do you think someone with more experience would want to take this roster? Like, let's be honest with you. You scream Vrabel's name. Do you think Vrabel was kicking down a door to coach this roster? After, I mean, at least he had Derrick Henry before he went out the door in Tennessee. I mean, there's not even an O. Henry on this team. So, again, you have to realize the fan base is that Gerard Mayo is doing the work that probably nobody else in the NFL would take the job to do. People screaming Brian Daboll. Let's be honest. Brian Daboll has a little bit better of a roster than what's here in New England. You may think Daniel Jones all day, but that front four he's got on the defensive line is starting to look a bit impressive. But you want Daboll here. Like, that's the other side of it. You're like, hey, I want this coach here. And the coach is thinking like, okay, let me look at this roster. Oh, and guys aren't coming? Like, if Daboll came here, let's just, for some of you have been screaming, oh, go get Daboll. If he came here, who is he bringing? Who's he bringing? Darius Slayton? Right? Because if you're talking about the relationship, like, who are you bringing? That's my point. Gerard Mayo had to be the guy to take these type of hits with this roster, with this offensive line. And it seems like he's learned quite a bit because he's not been given the best tools to work with. He hasn't been spoiled. You say, I've heard people say, well, look what they did down in Houston. You totally forget how bad Houston was for a good 3 to 4 years. You forget that? Yeah. And they got rid of who was supposed to be their franchise quarterback. So, yeah, if you told me that the Patriots could end up with the number one and number three pick in the draft, I mean, it depends on who's available in the draft. Like what do you need? Like, you feel like with Drake May has a great relationship with Gerard Mayo, and together they're going to be able to accomplish some things given time over the years. It's almost uncommon sometimes to hear of a defensive leading or defensive minded head coach kind of be on the same page with this quarterback. And the reason being is usually that defensive head coach has got a quarterback that's probably established themselves in the league. Like, if you think about even when Mike Singletary was the head coach of the 49ers and just couldn't get it together. I mean, even if you had, like, running Jeff Garcia out there, at least Jeff Garcia had been in the league for a while. I mean, if that might be too old for some people, I guess that's the great thing about YouTube. You can pull this stuff up. Or even look at Robert Saleh, right? I mean, had no quarterback. Then finally, when he was supposed to get the quarterback to settle everything, that quarterback decided he was going to have a coup. And we're still trying to see how that all works out, because it looked like it was going to be totally disastrous. But it really centered around the quarterback not getting along with their defensive-minded head coach. And if you could have someone like Jerod Mayo and Drake May built together, working from both sides of the ball, you haven't seen that movie before here in New England? And I'm not saying that that's who those two guys are going to be, but anything's possible in this world. I mean, I was old enough to remember when I was like, damn, if you told me after Bill Belichick's third year coaching in Cleveland that he was going to be the all-time, being the chance for the all-time winningest head coach, I'd say, hell. Hell, it was ugly. Three straight losing seasons. Don't give me the team was moving. Some team is discussing moving every year. You just don't know it. Look, Jacksonville's been talking about moving to London for what, 10 years now? So for those who've given Jerod Mayo more of a chance as the season going along, kudos to you, right? Because you at least understand that there's pain before glory. I mean, that's any of the Rocky movies, right? Rocky takes a punch at every movie, even the bad ones. Doesn't he take a punch from one of his, like an adopted son or something? I can't remember. But the point being is this. If Mayo came here and just lit the sky on fire, would you want that flame to burn out quickly? Or would you not want to work with and see the growth and development? I mean, I clearly thought New England is a very smart area. And I almost think they were the ones that kind of, you know, funded Wall Street when they needed money because they were saying, hey, I've got a great idea. Grow with it. Watch it grow. And you will yield the benefits later on. Get out of the Madden fill in the blank year. Thinking of, I've got to fire my head coach if we don't get it done in 1 year. This was the year with this roster? Like you, and we'll talk about the Chicago game coming Sunday. Like, you don't think Matt Eberflus isn't on the hot seat with all the tools that they have given him? I mean, they've given him so many tools, they've given him two first-round quarterbacks. Two! Weapons, got rid of key defensive players, brought in more people. Everything they gave him, they've given him everything he wants. And what happened? What's going on right now with Chicago? Can't control the culture of the locker room. And who's that going to hurt most likely? The rookie quarterback. So understand that when you've got at least a culture that's moving in the right direction, even though the winds don't seem to be moving in that direction, that's a little bit more important now than trying to chase a bunch of wins thinking that this team's going to make the playoffs when you have no roster that even says that. 617-779-7937, text line 37937, KJWEEI, still to come, playoff tree. Why you don't go for two just really mess things up for Cincinnati. That's coming in 20 minutes. We'll talk more Patriots and the Bears game, but right now it's time to trend with Thomas.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where you
That's the Kid Dynamite right there. Drake May right there on WEEI. KJ here, Patriots Friday, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Of course, part of the big conversation is draft pick number one versus draft pick number three. And I've been one of those who said if I had to rank where the quarterbacks are, even though Caleb Williams has played more games, he's been playing since week one. Drake May is going, I think, into his fifth game in one way or another. That Drake May would be two behind Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, while maybe the MVP, I just don't know if he's the MVP and the rookie of the year. So you'd have to be absolutely, I think Dan Marino pulled that off. I think as a rookie, he was the MVP as well. But that's a different time, different era. Like, you know, no one had ever seen someone throw. He threw for 4,000 yards. Now people do that in their sleep. I mean, Jameis Winston has thrown for 5,000 yards in his career. So Jaden Daniels, I think, probably the rookie of the year. I don't know necessarily if he might be the MVP this year. It probably could be Lamar Jackson. It may be a keep away award from Patrick Mahomes. But I still think those two are the conversation. But in terms of the quarterbacks drafted this past season, Jaden Daniels 1, Drake May 2, Caleb Williams 3. Now, in terms of Chicago, this could be one of those games where it's like, Drake May have some learning to do because Chicago's defense is first against the pass and an eighth in giving up yards defensively. First downs, seventh in the league, and turnovers, fourth in the league. So they're going to be chomping at the bit to get after Drake May. And this is going to be contingent on the Patriots' defense because they're 29th. Chicago's 29th in yards, total yards passing, and 22nd in touchdowns, and 30th in pretty much yards attempt per attempt. So I'm a little scared of what the defense can do for Chicago against Drake May. Yes. Than what I think the defense will be able to do against Caleb Williams. So this may be one of those where Caleb Williams and the run game may look a lot better, where Drake may really have some tough times in this game. I want Kid Dynamite. I know people coming up with all these other names. I say call him Kid Dynamite because that thing is explosive. You know, he's going to have to be able to pull off some plays, and the run game for the Patriots are just going to have to be there. In about 3 minutes, we're going to kind of do like a boxing tail of the tape of where May and Williams are. And it's fascinating that when you, because you have to do these in odd numbers, right? So you don't have a tie. But it's interesting in these different categories, you're like, wait, Drake May, I see more of that in him. This is more of what's being either supplied to or Caleb Williams has. And then it literally comes down to like one box that I think will separate the two of them, and I will figure that out as I go through it with you here in about 2 minutes. So Chicago, obviously, they have kind of this thing going on in their locker room that's different than the thing that went on in the locker room for the Patriots, right? The thing that was going on in the locker room with the Patriots was, hey, you know, you're getting away from the run game. Alex Van Pelt was a lot of a part of the conversation. Maybe you would say the argument was more about how the players were getting coached and were they being able to execute what's being put down, or what is being put down isn't really executable, right? These are things you're kind of figuring out as the season starts. Where with Chicago, it's like you've got this plethora of talent and this chasm of leadership. And so obviously everybody knows what happened in that Washington Commanders game, which is completely embarrassing. My co-host John Lyons, who I'm usually on with, he said, like, I would have cut that guy from my team. And I was just, well, you know, clearly when there's a contract involved and money and severance operates a little different than, you know, stealing hamburgers from the back. But you almost say if men at this level, at the highest level of the game, feel that they can get away with, you know, doing trash talk while a play is going on to the fans and then try and come back into the play and be the reason why the game was lost, there's a culture problem in terms of the players. You haven't gotten what you thought you were getting out of Keenan Allen, and so now for Keenan Allen, it's almost kind of a, like, is the skills diminished, or is this such a bad situation? DJ Moore says that he kind of was pulled on the collar about making some comments about what the team should be doing. So you have all these players who are highly skilled talking – or doing things that are unimaginable. Where with here, you've had players who skills are below average, C students at best, maybe some of them who were talking, some of them much lower, complaining about things on a bad team. Chicago was penciled in by a lot of people. They were the sexy favorite of bettors that, hey, they will win the NFC North. I was thinking they're just saying that because they don't want to take those low odds on Detroit. There'd be no return money. That would be the surprise one. But here they are. Detroit's on they're on a train that almost nobody can stop. And Chicago's last in the NFC North. They're last. Keep in mind, that was supposed to be Minnesota. They're last. And they're trying to figure out if the head coach is still going to be around. 617-779-7937, text line 37937, KJWEEI, Patriots Friday, about 15 minutes away from, would you rather, from playoff tree, and why Cincinnati going for two dearly cost them, dearly cost them in the playoff race. All right, let's get a little fisticuffs here going, Thomas. Let's take May and Williams into the ring and look at them.
Let's get it on!
Okay, so there are five categories, six categories. So I was lying. It's not odd even. Less of an error repeater. Who has the weapons? Who has the run support? Who shows leadership? Who can take a game over? And who seems to be processing things better on the field between Drake May and Caleb Williams? So let me start with Caleb Williams, right? Okay, so all of Caleb Williams' wins are at home. So you say, okay, like, you're comfortable at home. You know that people are behind you. You probably do some more things better at home than you do on the road, and that's normal, especially of a rookie. But he averages less than 200 yards passing at home in all wins. So the design probably for Caleb Williams is not to show off what he can do, but to get that running game going. And guess what? Who can't stop the run recently? Or really, have they stopped the run this year? The Patriots, several plays they've stopped the run. But in terms of early on in games, I mean, Tony Pollard was looking like Derrick Henry out there last week in Tennessee. So Caleb Williams isn't going to necessarily be called on to use his arm. Probably his legs and his backfield's legs will suffice, because when Williams runs the ball, it's more likely at home and it's 6 yards per carry. So if you're the Chicago Bears and you know that you desperately need a win, you lost to Arizona in a shock, you lost to Washington in a bigger shock the week before, everybody's talking about the coach might be gone if you lose this one. And it would feel really good if the Patriots won a game that resulted in a team losing their coach. Like, because then they'd be like, you lost to the Patriots? That team? But so I think they're just going to be committed to the run. 68% completion at home, 10 percentage points better at home than it is on the road for Caleb Williams. So I think part of it is kind of like, hey, you know what? If you do throw the ball, let's not get crazy. Because four of his five interceptions have been in games where the margin of victory is less than 7 points. So close game, this is what the Patriots want to be, right? Like, nothing shows that the Patriots really have the talent set outside of Drake May. And a lot of scrambling around to come back from down 10, 15 points, 10, 14, 14 to 10 points, 10 points, 14 points. It just seems like it's not obtainable. But if it's a 7-point game, I would say in the past, that was like, that's actually enough. Like, the Patriots have to be down by two for them to have a chance to be in this game. But now you're like, this is a team that can take it down the field. Even Jacoby Brissett did it against the Jets. Some would say the Jets just absolutely fell asleep. I'm like, look, takes two to tango. You got both teams have 11 men out on the field, so you need to know what you have to do. So if this is a close game within the margin of about one score, potentially now the Patriots can force Caleb Williams to make those throws, because again, four out of five of his interceptions this year have been in games where it was less than 7 points. Even if you look at the Washington game and what happened in the Arizona game, right? All of Williams' losses have been against teams who are in the playoff hunt. Houston, Arizona, Indy, yes, Indy, and Washington. So he's lost to quality opponents. And so that's a good thing in terms of if you're a developing quarterback, but it's a bad thing for the Chicago Bears because of all the money that they've pumped into this team to try and get them to be ready at day one, right? So Caleb Williams, all of his wins are at home, averages less than 200 yards per game at home, but all wins again, runs the ball more at home, gets a higher average per carry at home. Four of five interceptions have been when the game's in the balance. So that's Caleb Williams' kind of window there. So where I give him the edge, let me do Drake May, then I'll tell you where the edge is. Okay, so let's look at Kid Dynamite. Drake May's completion percentage is better on the road than it is at home by 10 percentage points. I would have never guessed that. Nearly 10 more passing attempts on the road. Now, I blame that on the run game, which is non-existent. So if next thing I told you was like, hey, been the leading rusher for the last 3 weeks. Like, there's no run game, and that's a problem. It's going to continue to be a problem. Again, you've got the Chicago Bears defense that could get to the ball in terms of the passing game. They're on point. Run defense, not so as much, but who's running the ball for the Patriots outside of Drake May? And you would almost have to feel like there's a mandate, at least for Ramondre Stevenson by Ramondre Stevenson. If you're going to show your ultimate worth for this team, you need to do it on the road. It's a Sunday game in Chicago, mid-November. Oh, the winds are going to go crazy. They start going north, right? So they want to probably take the ball going at the start of the game, you know, going north with the wind at their back. And then after halftime, the wind starts blowing towards the water. And if you know how lake effect works, it then may send back a wind because, you know, what moving water creates wind. We've learned that in school, right? So May, 5 of his 6 touchdowns have been in games where the final score was 15 points or more. So he's been scoring touchdowns and blowouts. The Pats got to give Drake May a shot. Like, this is where the defense has to wake up. May's lowest completion percentage is on third down. After 1st and 10, the downs May has the most passing attempts has been on 3rd and 10 and 2nd and 10. Running game, missing. And 2, of course, out of his 5 interceptions have come on 1st down, the Houston game when he first got into the league. And then, of course, going for it in overtime on the interception. So, like, you know where the interceptions are. So, if I've got to look at categories, right? Less of an error repeater, I'm going to give that to Caleb Williams just because he's been in there longer and he hasn't had a chance to, how can I best put this? He hasn't had a chance to try and do everything himself because it hasn't been needed, whether it's a supportive defense or a run game behind him. So I give him the edge right now, though May is still working at some things, right? The weapons, that's clearly Caleb Williams. He's got everything. He's got everything and more than what he needs. He's got the run support, so I give it to him as well. Leadership, I'd have to say that's Drake May, right? Because anything positive that's been happening with this team on the offense has centered around Drake May. I don't want to be that hype machine. He's everything or anything like that. You have to understand, when there's a rose growing from the concrete, you can't keep talking about how hard the concrete is. Kind of have to celebrate the rose a little bit. So if there's going to be a couple of thorns on there, that's perfectly fine. Those are the growing pains. But you see the leadership starting to sprout out. And really, it's at a point where it's kind of like Jerod Mayo needs someone to raise their hand and be like, who wants to be that guy? Drake May has stepped up to be that guy. Who has the ability to take the game over? I'm giving that edge to Drake May. We've seen it, even though they've been in losses. But we've also seen where the comeback has allowed games to get tied up and then something else happened or so forth. So I like Drake May more over to take over the game, more in leadership. I give the edge to Caleb Williams by having the run support, the weapons, and less of an error repeater at this point. So the last point is processing, right? Like, who seems to be watching or running their game a little more consistently between the two? So what I did was look at what do they look like when they're on 2nd and long and 3rd and long, right? Okay, so Caleb Williams, Completion percentage on second and long, 81.8, 77.7. That's between second, it's anywhere from second to second and seven to second and more than 10. On third and seven to nine, 16% completion percentage. And then third and 10, 64%. That's not bad. I mean, that completion percentage for third and seven and nine. But only one interception of all of his interceptions have come on those long downs. Drake May, a little bit different, but not very much off, except for when you look at second down and seven and less than 10, completion percentage 41%. Second and 10 and more, 61%. Third and seven up to 10, 54%. And then third and 10 or more, 48%. So who to me is processing more right, better right now? I would have to give the edge to Caleb Williams, and that's just because he's been in the game. So if I'm scoring the fight, and I hate to do this, Williams checks off four boxes, Drake made two at this point. What do I think what that means for this game? It just comes down to, look, Caleb Williams probably has more things available to him to help him win without having him do it all. If there's no Ramondre Stevenson again, or nothing from Antonio Gibson, or nothing from anybody on the running back side, what would you expect from the Patriots? Like, what, think about it. Even from the defensive side of the ball, I mean, you really haven't even been seeing turnovers by the defense. Like, they're not getting turnovers. So it's going to be a pretty tough watch. It's going to be a pretty tough watch. The kicking game might be the savior. If you pick the right side of the field to defend, you want to be on the south side of the field. Well, by the time the second half of the game, that game, either it's going to be blowing it to the left or blowing it to the right. So you're going to have to determine, Sly, what do you want the wind to do? Push your ball left or push it right? I'd probably say, since you're a right-footed kicker, probably overcompensate for the wind pushing to the left. And that would mean you'd probably want to be kicking on the north side of the stadium, kicking into the goal of the north side of the stadium field goal at the end, towards the end of the game. Like that, it might literally come down to that. That's unfortunate, but that's where we are with this team. All right, still to come, Celtics drop to the Warriors. Can they turn it around against the Nets? That game picks up next hour. We'll talk about them. Plus the Red Sox, and are we talking more pitching? Like, are we in love with trying to find another pitcher? Or do you want to get a superstar in here? That's still to come here. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937 KJWEEI. Thanks for hanging out on your Friday.
Come on.
WEEI, KJ here with you on Patriots Friday. Thank you so much for hanging out. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We are minutes away from playoff tree. And why Cincinnati going for two? They're now the rabbit chasing the carrot. It's not going to be good for the rest of the way for them, I don't think. 37937, Thomas, what do you have on the text line?
They signed Jerod Mayo because they knew he is relatively inexpensive. Kraft knew he is still paying bill, and so he was both willing to spend big money on a proven head coach. I think both was supposed to be wasn't willing to.
Okay, so, well, I guess the other part of it is the Krafts did want control back of their team, right? If you look at the pantheon of how things went from when Belichick gets hired, right? It's kind of like you saved me from that New York Jets situation, okay? And then it becomes the greatest show in the history of the NFL. And you literally have three strong main characters, right? That's, unless it's like De Niro and Pacino, you very rarely see, you know, two strong main characters. You might have a very strong owner, like if you look at the Dallas situation. Jerry Jones has always been the strong personality. When you look at its players over the years, yeah, they've had great players. But Troy Aikman was not like one that would have his own lane that would be just as big as Jerry Jones. This is a situation where Robert Kraft was big. Bill Belichick was big. Tom Brady, big. And just in the Brady-Belichick situation, when you have two kings inside the castle, eventually someone is going to either get thrown out or ousted out, right? So they had So Bill attempted to oust Tom, and Tom went above the head to the other king of the castle. And then eventually Bill gets ousted because at the end of the day, there's kind of like an ultimate king. So you don't have that gamesmanship anymore with Robert Kraft. Even if you brought in a kind of a well-established name, I'm sure that well-established name would have probably said, well, I'm definitely interested in probably, you know, doing some of the personnel decisions. You don't have to worry about any of that when you're talking about Gerard Mayo. It's just kind of like, okay, this is your first chance to be a head coach. You don't think that you're going to put all that on his plate. Yeah, you're the head coach and you'll have some say in the personnel that Elliott is going to know. At best, you'll probably tell him, here's how this player is working out so far, how this player isn't working out so far. In that regard, I think things have been okay. Josh Uche wasn't giving you anything. Yeah, you didn't get anything back in return, but do you really think Josh Uche was going to pull you back a third? A fourth? No, that nothing says that he would have. Judon, you got a third, and as I mentioned earlier, and if you missed any of the show, the Odyssey app is free. Just type in WEEI, go to WEEI at night. It's like you kind of have like one day only to kind of do that. So as this show is going on, you'll hear me talk about how, hey, wait a minute, getting rid of Judon was extremely smart now looking compared to what's going on. That was earlier in the show. So next text message, 37937.
Mayo was here before, you forget that. He's part of the problem. There'll be no glory until Kraft opens the wallet.
Well, yeah, but opens the wallet in terms of the players? Yeah, we totally agree. He's done it once before. It's just that Bill did a bad job when he brought in Jonnu Smith. I mean, Hunter Henry's still here. But, you know, at that time, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith were like the two big gets. I think they were rated 7th and 8th free agents available of all the free agents that were available at the time. If there was even in front of a number of Nelson Agholor by the time that was over here, but now you're seeing Nelson Agholor like show up as a model citizen in Baltimore. So, and then of course you had your Juju Smith-Schuster situation, Jacoby Myers, who was a homegrown guy, you didn't keep him, and it was over about $1 million. You know, then the Parker situation that you had here, it was just, you know, Bill made some bad decisions in key areas on the field. Even if you look at Cole Strange. I mean, Cole Strange, you almost be like, oh my gosh, a threat. He is here. Tyquan Thornton's not working out. N'Keal Harry, obviously. I mean, he's transferred to a tight end and is not even in the game. So, yes, Robert Kraft is going to spend again, but you think you have to get a culture here that says free agents are going to want to come here. One more?
Yeah, we have one more. Someone wants to know, what was Caleb Williams' yards per pass, KJ?
Oh, gosh, I didn't look at all that.
I assumed.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've looked at a lot of stuff. I mean, maybe they're getting to, like, gosh, you're really looking at all this stuff. But yards per pass, it was somewhere around 7. And the 7. I mean, look, if it was 10, you would have heard it jump out of my mouth. So it was somewhere around 7. I guess if you're talking about the processing, if that's where you're getting at, like, look, two of the three things that Caleb Williams has an advantage over Drake May is he has a run game. And he has a supporting cast that's better. And when you have those, like Keenan Allen is kind of designed, and DJ Moore too as well, right? Because even when DJ Moore got there with Justin Fields, man, you started seeing some things going on because that was the problem. Like they were like, Justin Fields has nobody to get the ball down the field to. And he started to get the ball down the field to him. You know, am I saying that Justin Fields looks better now than what they have with Caleb Williams? Absolutely not. But when you have all those weapons and you're a 500 team, there's something bigger going on. I mean, we're not talking about like they've been like hit with a bunch of injuries. And we're not talking about a quarterback. Like I said, hey, if there's anything, I give Caleb Williams an advantage on the error repeater situation just because Drake May has been in there about 4 games less. So, look, I think Caleb Williams is just, he's probably seeing that you can have a lot of important things in front of you and still not really have a team. I would rather see that this team be built up as a team, knowing that eventually you can get better players, which we were talking about from the previous text. All right, still to come, we'll talk about the Celtics' loss to the Warriors as they get ready for the Nets tonight. Plus, we'll also look at the Red Sox as well. But right now, it is time for...
That's why we took the damn field.
Yeah! Now,
if you want to crown them, then crown them. But they are who we thought they were.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Playoffs? Playoffs?
Can't wait.
Can we let him off the hook?
Can't wait.
Playoffs?
Son.
I got to do better than this.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Oh, I cannot wait until I get to, you keep the music going, Thomas. That's how it works. It's fascinating what going for two in a situation can do to a team when you're in the playoff hunt, because Cincinnati, find out where they are when I get to them. Okay, so Kansas City, over 99% to get to the playoffs. Same thing with the Bills. The Ravens at 99%, Houston at 94%. So those are your first four teams. Pittsburgh at 87%. Okay, now this is where it gets interesting. The Chargers have a 78% chance to make it to the playoffs. So there's six of your spots with only one spot remaining out of the potential teams. You know who's the next name that I called last week? It was the Bengals. Now it's Indianapolis at 40%. Now, if you believe that, and this is why I think this goes to the narrative of why Indy pulled Richardson, even though he still has a career with them. They know that they're hanging on to that last potential wild card slot at 7. At 40%, it's a thin margin. But if you have Joe Flacco in there, watch this. You feel like better choices will be made with the ball. Followed by Denver at 34%. Now, that's a shocker because, you know, like, Denver's losing some games. Bo Nix isn't really is not blowing people out of the water, but their defense and the reduction of mistakes have Denver right on the outside for that seventh wild card spot in the AFC, because Cincinnati has now dropped down below Denver at 32%. You're like, what's the big difference? Well, because they're dropped behind Denver, they are now two spots away from that potential last wild card spot and about 8 percentage points away from where Indy is now. Unless Cincinnati plays Indy, be something different. But had they gone for the one, got the game into overtime, and won the game, they would more likely be sitting ahead of Indy based on what Cincinnati has done and what their schedule looks like moving forward. The Jets at 20%, that's not a conversation, but I would continue to keep an eye on them just because if the Jets win this weekend, things start to move forward. You don't want to miss Make Money Money coming up later in the show. I think that Jets-Arizona game is going to be an absolute wild shootout. Probably one of the most entertaining games of the weekend. All right, over in the NFC, Detroit, as I mentioned, they are really a train pulling the wagon for everybody. 98% chance to make the playoffs. You pretty much say they're in there. Washington at 93%. Like, they keep growing. Just a couple weeks ago, they were like at 82%. But because of what's happened with Dallas, they're out of that picture. It's crazy. Philadelphia at 90%. So there still may be this feeling that Philadelphia could win the division. They have a 48% chance to win the division. Washington has a 51% chance to win the division. So either Washington or Philadelphia is probably going to be one of the top-seeded wild cards. And imagine facing Philadelphia as your opening round wild card matchup. That'd be wild. Atlanta, 89% chance to make the playoffs. The NFC South is just kind of falling apart. Tampa was in that mix at one point. Once Godwin and Mike Evans went down, you just feel like all the air is going out of them. The Saints are horrible. Carolina is who they are. In fact, Atlanta has an 85% chance to win their division. So them making the playoffs and winning the division are almost the same chance of doing it. Minnesota, this is the team I'm going to keep an eye out for. They got an 80% chance to make the playoffs. Clearly, really no chance to win the division. But right behind them is Green Bay at 76%. So do you believe that Sam Darnold can still be good through the rest of the season the way he's been? This just feels like it's like, when does the shoe drop on him? I just have that feeling. And with Green Bay, even though they've had some nicks here and there, they didn't look good against Detroit. But then again, who has? Oof, that's pretty interesting, because right there, those are your six spots taken up. And then it just gets absolutely crazy just for the last wild card spot. Could it be Arizona, who leads the NFC West? They have a 49% chance to win, not only to get into the playoffs, but a 45% chance to win their division. That's crazy. Followed by the 49ers, who just seem to kind of continually inch their way up. But do you feel like they could pass the Cardinals? Because literally, whoever wins the NFC West, they'll be that one person that goes to the playoffs. And that may cost either, as I mentioned, Green Bay or Minnesota. So literally, Green Bay or Minnesota could be the team that's out of the wild card, or be the very last wild card. One of those two are not going to make the playoffs just because of how dominant Detroit is, and one of the division winners have to go. So it's fascinating. I mean, the Eagles may be in that mix, but I think the Eagles will be just fine. The 49ers a 41% chance to make the playoffs, but a 33% chance to win the division. Tampa, as I said, I don't think they have a chance to make the playoffs. And then on the outside, the Los Angeles Rams, 25% chance to get in, 20% chance to win their division. Ironically, the Patriots on that schedule, the Patriots, if they can beat the Rams when they face them later in the schedule, would pretty much all but eliminate the Rams from the playoffs. The Bears at 14%, less than 1% chance to win their division. Dallas, I have to get them in there. 3% chance to make the playoffs, less than a percentage to win their division. Dak Prescott is out. That thing is a mess. Mike McCartney might be fired probably right after their Thanksgiving game. So stay tuned. KJ, WEEI, 617-779-7937 continues next here on WEEI.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.